Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Dead Set Legends on this chilly Saturday morning. Oh. Overcast, a little bit drizzly, but starting to fine up for the start of the week, getting into spring now. Now, the big news, Pasty Boy Jars isn't with us today, so no dribble, no stuffing things up. So enjoy your day off, Jars. But joining me this morning, of course, is our own Bernie Vince. Good morning, Bern.
Good morning, Blue. Good morning, Hato. And things probably run pretty smoothly this morning, and there'll be no stuttering, there'll be no repeating, no starting again. So, yes, I like it, Blue. What about golf today?
Yeah.
Have you got golf today in the wet?
Stroke round today.
In the wet.
Yeah, well, it's gonna clear up, mate. So it's just a little bit chilly. So just got to get the old body moving.
But didn't know you're a weatherman as well.
No, I study the weather when I'm playing golf.
I do too,
for sure, mate. big news out of the Crows last night. Of course, they had their best and fairest burn.
Yes, Riley O'Brien is the reigning best and fairest at the Adelaide Footy Club. He's the owner of the yellow jacket, as they say. And it was a very close count too, Blue. Rory Laird, who had an outstanding second half of the year when he went into the midfield, hit the front with one round to go. And it looked like he might just pinch it right at the right time. But Riley O'Brien had that best on ground performance in the last round, was outstanding, and just got enough votes to win by one vote. So a very close count. Rory Laird second. On 80 votes. Luke Brown, third, 76. And Matt Crouch was fourth on 72. Ben Keys, fifth on 65 votes, which pretty good coming from another club or getting delisted from another club last year in Brisbane Lions and coming across and playing a very good run with role this year. So well done to him. But just got a little grab on last night's speech from Riley O'Brien and just a few things he has to work on to get his game to the next level.
I think I've only played about 37 games now, so definitely a lot of improvement to come. Laird and Tex tell me I need to work on my kick and a few other things, so I'll continue to do that. I can't wait for great things to come with this group. We've got a special group. The last month of the year was really exciting, and can't wait to do some special things going forward.
Work on his kick. Ruckman just shouldn't kick, so he doesn't need to work on that. He should work on his handball and finding targets for handball.
Just in case he needs to kick it.
Once a game, maybe.
I tell you what, Bern, I've been doing the boundary lining this year, and when he comes off Riley O'Brien, he is spent. He puts in, because we know he's done it all on his own this season, hasn't he, and last season, but his effort every single game is immense. So, bloody well done.
Big work rate for a ruckman. Can run too. Runs a midfield times in the time trial, apparently. So it's been a weird year, though, Blue. Very weird year. And when they normally get up for a toast, this is what happened.
I'd like everybody to remain seated, but raise your glass in recognition of Riley O'Brien. 2020 Malcolm Blight medalist. Well done.
Well done, Rob, for keeping everybody seated. That is the strangest club champion toast I've ever seen, but one of the best. It was excellent.
Obviously, had to stay in the seats. Otherwise, you get fined, Blue. That would have been good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
That would have been good. 300 people getting fined. How much is it? $1,600 each. That adds up real quick. Hey, but one person who's been all over the Crows this season and all over the players that have been in form is our man, old Pasty Boy. He's all over the ruckman and Riley O'Brien. And, well, this was his summary of Riley O'Brien halfway through the year.
Let's just have a listen to your prediction a year
terrible
ago.
Performance, not up to it. Look, Riley O'Brien's not an AFL ruckman, to be quite honest with you.
No, he's not.
And he's a lovely young man, but he's not up to this standard of football.
There's a bit of feedback.
Best and fairest.
He's won when the was, best.
When was that? How long ago?
To be fair, I think that was at the end of last year.
Right.
So when they were talking about recruiting and Sam Jacobs leaving. But he was probably a little bit sour because Sam Jacobs obviously is a good friend.
Yes.
But then this is just how much he knows about the ruckman.
Rory O'Brien. Riley O'Brien.
You can't even get his name right. He's not making it if you don't know him. Called him Rory O'Brien. So first of all, he thinks he's not up to it. He wins the best and fairest. He calls him Rory O'Brien. His name's Riley. That is why he's been suspended for a week, and he'll be. He may not come back.
Yeah, Andrew Jarman here. Sorry, I missed your call. Leave your
name and he's got his phone turned off.
What? And never available either. Never available when he's not on.
We'll be checking in regularly during today's show, Byrne, won't we? So, well done to Riley O'Brien, of course. Big Rob. So, great season. So, well done. Plenty coming up on the show, of course. The cricket world, well, the whole world has been in mourning, of course. Yes. Dean Jones passing away very, very suddenly. We'll get Damien Fleming, Australian player, former Victorian, teammate of Dean Jones. Jay-Z will join us as well. We've got plenty coming up here on Dead Set Legends.
Triple M. Hey. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota.
Crows best and fairest last night, Byrne, the winner by one vote. Jeez, it was tight.
Tight, wasn't it? Riley O'Brien,
so massive congratulations. And he joins us now on Dead Set Legends. Good morning, Riley, and mate, well done.
Morning, boys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, awesome. Did you enjoy the night? Was it a bit close to enjoy?
It was a bit close, yeah. I was trying to look on stage and sort of get a gauge on how big the jacket was, because I knew it would either be made for a little midget in Lady or potentially me. So, it was good fun.
That's a fair call, though, because they do make it to size blue. And right. I just thought it looked a little bit tight on you. So maybe they had it a bit smaller, so it didn't give it away.
maybe. It just squeezed on. I almost popped all the buttons, but I couldn't pick it up throughout the night.
Hey, mate, where's the improvement came from? Because we saw you come into the team when Sam Jacobs was injured early last year, and then you basically kept him out of the side since then. And then obviously this year you've taken your game to the next level. What's been the answer?
I think going into last year, I built a really good aerobic base, and that really helped me to play more consistent footy. And then on top of that, probably my marking and my ruck works just got better playing a string of AFL games and being able to do that. So, obviously not having played much at the level before, didn't know much, I guess, how to go about it in the ruck against really good players in there. So, I learned a lot in there and then tried to take my marking to another level too.
Well, your marking was elite, no doubt about that, mate. How do you go with your workload? I'm down there most games and see you come off, and you are absolutely spent. And we know that it's been shorter turnarounds this season. How have you gone?
It has been tough this year, especially early in the year. I was probably playing close to 100% game time and grinding it out. But I think that the shorter quarters probably helped me in some senses this year. And I guess I just found a way to just keep grinding away. I don't have to run too fast. I just grind and crack in and just get it done.
One thing I do love about your ruck work is your follow up, your clearance. You can take your third at the club for contested possessions as well. So your follow up and you use your big body to knock their midfielders out of the way. That's what I love about your game.
Thanks, Bernie. Yeah, no, it's always something I've sort of prided myself on, I guess, not being the most, skillful or talented player, just trying to be competitive around the ball and have a red hot crack in there. So definitely something I've always prided myself on.
Now, how'd you go with the speech last night?
I wasn't too bad. I was a little bit nervous. shocked that I was up there, but no, I wasn't too bad.
And did you kick on? Was it a late one?
It was a late one. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit worse for wear today. The boys kicked on well, so it was very good fun. I was holding myself in some sort of shape before I went up on stage, but then it was let loose afterwards, which was great.
Good man. When I did it, I just got completely written off before I even went up there. Forgot what I was going to say.
Drink responsibly.
But anyway, the new coaching personnel going into next year, Nathan Van Berlo joining as a midfield coach coming across from West Coast. Obviously, Scotty Burns is joining the club too. Have you had the opportunity to speak to any of them? Or are you excited about that prospect?
Yeah, really excited. I haven't had the chance yet to talk to them, but I'll get in contact in the next couple of days. But worked a bit with VB my first couple of years at the club as when he was a player. And yeah, he's a ripping guy and looking forward to working with him. And then Scotty Burns, got awesome credentials, so it's really exciting for the club to get two really high-quality coaches in, and that'll really help us go into next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just quickly before we let you go, mate, what now? What are you going to do for the next couple of weeks?
Just relax for the next few days. Probably need 2 days in bed now, but I'm going up to Queensland for a couple of weeks and then just hanging around Adelaide. Obviously, you've got family back in Victoria, but won't be seeing them anytime soon, but hanging around Adelaide and then get a few weeks up in the sun with my rash vest up in Queensland.
Nice. Hey, mate, another thing I forgot to mention. Don't be afraid to take notes on opposition ruckman and tweet them out, because I reckon we need more of that. We need more of that. And, geez, that was entertaining leading into that game. So don't be afraid to accidentally tweet again, mate.
Yeah, I might make it my thing and start spicing it up.
But, oh,
yeah,
I love
so
it.
There we go.
Well, at least you got a brand new phone, and, mate, you got a brand new medal around your neck. We're really well done, mate. Club, best and fairest for the Crows. Great stuff.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
There you go.
Thanks,
Riley Rob. O'Brien, Malcolm Blight medalist.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. For CMI Toyota, the all-new Hilux is now available at their three big locations, West Terrace of the City, Cheltenham and Christie's Beach. Dead Set Legends with Bernie Bluey and Jars, Andrew Jarman absent, in Greg Blewett and Bernie Vince.
Yes, Jars rotated out of Dead Set Legends today. Now, I was listening to you two last night, Bernie,
yes.
On the rush hour. I got home, had a nice cold one, as you do on a Friday
yes.
night.
West Coast cooler.
Was listening to you guys, and of course, you know, during the week, the All-Australian team came out.
Yep.
That was on Fox Footy, of course. And, well, you boys got a little bit upset about the process at the moment and regarding selection, who's in that side. Just take a listen.
You got to pick a forward, a high half forward.
There was no genuine small forward selected, Byrne, bar Liam Ryan.
Liam Ryan. So
who's stiff?
Well, Dan Butler.
Absolutely.
Papley, Tom Papley.
Absolutely,
if you're going to pick players in positions for this All-Australian team...
Yep.
It's becoming each year they're doing it more and more. They're just trying to fit in more and more midfield. Oh yeah, you know what? Dustin Martin every now and then does go forward. We'll chuck him in. He's playing in forward pocket, Dustin Martin, in this team. So that's
farcical,
right.
Byrne. It's farcical.
Marcus Bontempelli plays 90% in the midfield,
well
goes forward when he's getting tagged out of a game, possibly.
Yep.
Dangerfield spends a bit of time forward, but that was when they were resting him as well because the short turnarounds, he played forward a couple of games. But their midfielders, Jars, if they're better, which they are, Dangerfield had an outstanding year and he should be in the team. But
he shouldn't be captain.
He should be fighting for one of those midfield spots.
Well, there you go. It's an interesting debate, isn't it? Because
it is.
How do you fit all the... I tell you what, Byrne, the same thing happens in cricket. They announce a Big Bash team of the year at the end of the Big Bash each, and it's just filled with guys who have batted in the top three.
Yeah, because
they're
the
leading run scorers. So,
And
our argument is always too, you know, you've got to pick guys in specific roles. You know, like guys batting at number five, number six need to be in the side, and that's exactly what you're saying. But... it is so hard, isn't it? Because being an All-Australian is such a huge tick on your footy profile, isn't it? I mean, you know, premiership player, club champion, All-Australian. And it's not like none of those guys didn't deserve to be in that team. But, yeah, you're talking more role-specific.
Yeah, well, how it started, Blue, we went back into a bit of the history of the All-Australian team. It started in a when they did a carnival setup. So South Australia would go play, you know, Victoria, WA. They'd all play each other, and Jars went into it a little bit. They'd pick a team from that carnival, and that would be the All-Australian team. And obviously, they're definitely going to be in the positions they played in that carnival. But it's just sort of getting looser and looser, and there's a lot of talk about it. And you know what? The players in that team are all great players for their footy clubs. But I feel like they need to just have it a bit more position-specific. That's a hard word to say, those two together. But
said it, though.
I think I did get that out.
Yes,
I just had to slow up a bit. But midfielders all throughout this team. And you know, look at the forward line. And Dangerfield, yes, he does go forward every now and then and does kick goals. But he'll play, what, a quarter forward maybe in a game every now and then. He's a midfielder. He's on the half forward flank. Bontempelli, half forward flank. Dustin Martin, forward pocket. The bench is full of mids, including a ruckman in Max Gawn. So I just feel like what they need to do is this is just an idea I thought of last night, they need to pick, instead of picking this 40-man squad, which is full of mids anyway, and then they have to fit them all in, they need to pick a squad of defenders, a squad of midfielders, and a squad of forwards. and only forwards can be picked in the forwards group, and so on, so on. Yep. So then you get your best mids in the team, and it's going to be bloody hard to get in the All-Australian team as a mid because there's so many good mids in the comp.
Yep.
But if you're a mid, you qualify as a mid in the squad, and you might have a squad. You might even have a squad of 40 still. You might have 10 backs. You might have 15 mids to pick from, 10 forwards. And then the players that are really unlucky to miss out, they fill up the bench, one from each line. But in saying, when there's just a squad, it's very loose and you can try and fit. You go, well, we have to get Dangerfield in there somewhere, but we also have to get Travis Boak because he's had an outstanding year and he's only a mid. So what we'll do, we'll put Dangerfield in the forward pocket.
Yep.
We'll put Dustin Martin in the forward pocket. That way we can still fit Lachie Neale and Travis Boak in. So I even reckon, down to specifics, wingman, Jackson McRae is on a wing and Cam Guthrie, and they went through the percentages, very, very low percentages, those two have played on a wing. They're inside mids.
Yep.
So even down to the, I'd love to see a bit of system to it, a bit of system to how they pick the team. And I'm getting more and more passionate about it the more I speak
about this.
I feel like that makes it, and it's going to be, as I said, bloody hard to get into the midfield, but it's a tough spot to get into with a team like this. Shouldn't be easy to make the All Australian team, Blue. So just an idea, but I want to get the thoughts of the family. What do the family think? Let's take some calls.
Yep, some different ideas as well. 1-333-53. Give us a call. Do you think it's broken? Do you think they've got it right, or do you like Bernie's idea, or have you got another idea? Let's sort this out.
You can also get us on the text 0488851047. It's Dead Set Legends with Bernie, Bluey, and Jars for CMI Toyota. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Andrew Jarman absent this morning. It's all thanks to CMI Toyota. We've thrown open the phones 1-333-53 and on the text 0488-51047. Bern getting very passionate about the All-Australian selection. We've got a few texts that have come through already. Shane, who's listening on the app in Alice Springs, I think there should be an All-Australian side, but you guys are right. They should be according to position. Also got another one here from Mark in Freeling. What's the point of an All-Australian team? No point. It's just to have something else next to your name. At least pick an A and a B team and play the game.
All right, let's go straight to our calls, Bernie. We've got them lining up. Let's go to Brad from Plimpton. Have you got any new ideas, or do you agree with Bern, Brad?
I agree with Bern. I'd probably just chuck in that, if it comes down to two players in the one position, just refer back to the stats, I reckon. And, you know, then if anyone complains why this bloke didn't make it, you know, you look at the stats, guys.
Yeah, there's got to be a formula, doesn't there? Some sort of, it's very loose at the moment.
All right. Beautiful, Brad. Thank you very much. Let's go to Simon from Munno Para. Good morning, Simon.
Morning, guys. I think to go along the lines of other codes, for example, like soccer, Mark Bosnich would never be a striker. He's a goalkeeper. So you play in the positions that you actually play.
Yeah.
Exactly. Correct. Well said.
So say, for example, if they were to ever, which would never happen, I'd say, but have a proper national team, treat it that way.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I agree. Well done. Good call.
Yep, very good. Thank you very much, Simon. Let's go to AJ from Greenwith. Good morning, AJ.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are we?
Good. Your thoughts?
Good. Same as the last caller, other codes, you know, and further to what was discussed this morning, you know, state teams are generally picked from carnival situations. Now, what's your guys' thoughts on, is it a possibility that somehow it's morphed over time in relation to the internationals that they play against Ireland, where the international game is a very much a running game? How do the positions, and I haven't compared the two sports, but how do the positions lay up in that format? And has someone over time gone, well, if we're going to play an international against Ireland, maybe we need more running midfielders that can play a complete running game?
Well, they do say, the selectors do say in their defence, they come out and say, we pick this team as if it's going to play and it's got to win a game of football. But in saying that, they don't play a game of football against anyone, so they're unaccountable to that.
Yep.
Maybe like that last caller, the second to last caller, said, pick an A team, pick a B team, and get them to play against each other, like the Australia A and Australia team, Blue, like back when you played in that sort of format. That way, they've got to play. Because I'm looking at the bench. If a forward comes off, which is basically all midfielders anyway, but if a forward comes off, say Tom Hawkins needs a rest, who's going to play forward? Out of Jack Steele, Taylor Adams, Caleb Daniel, or Max Gorn? None of them. So there's no forward on the bench. And then, you know, if you're playing a game, you need that.
Yep. All right, beautiful. Good call there from AJ. Let's go to Alex from Richmond. Good morning, Alex.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good.
Very good.
Just a quick one. If you did an A and a B team,
yep,
you'd play your best, your number one centre-half forward on the centre-half back.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean? That's your A team. Then you'd do the other way around. So you'd play your best forward on your best centre-half back.
Yeah, I see what you mean. So you pick your best forward team on one
to play,
team.
Yeah, and then you're playing an A and a B.
Yep.
Correct, if you're picking two sides. And then you get the best of both worlds.
Yes,
but I agree with you, Dern. At the moment, the whole game is about midfielders.
Yep.
And you should either pick, even when they do the McGarry Medal, umpires should pick somebody from the back line if they played well and somebody from the forward line and a midfielder.
Well,
not just give all your votes to midfielders.
That's a very good point because that's becoming, well, the Brownlow Medal is becoming a midfielder's
Absolutely.
Medal anyway, isn't it? That's been proven for the last 10 or 15 years.
Yep. Mm. All right, beautiful. Well, even the NBA, Byrne, like
yes.
in terms of picking multiple sides,
yep.
NBA, lot less, only five players in each team, but they pick three.
Yep.
So three all-star teams, so that, you know,
yeah.
the first team, second team, third team. But, yeah, interesting debate, but you're right. I mean, the midfield has just completely taken over the AFL, hasn't it?
Yep.
And to back you up, boys, on the text, Callum from Meadows, I'm 100% with Byrne, and the Brownlow medal has turned into a midfielder medal, not a comp-wide one. Jeez, it's getting nasty. Thanks so much to everyone that called in and given us a text. The callers that got through will be heading to the Sandful Statewide Super League Final Series this weekend. Kicks off Sunday, the 4th of October at Adelaide Oval. Lebs Dead Set Legends with Bernie, Bluey and Jars for CMI Toyota. It is International Record Store Day. Get down to your local independent record store and support it. Or if you're down Old Port Road, Big Shed Brewing. Good friends of ours. They've got Underground Records. They've got Crackle and Pop Records. Very good chance to top up or even start that record collection.
Good on you, Haydos. Yeah, of course, the cricket family was rocked the other
yes.
day with the news of the passing of the great Dean Jones, who had a massive heart attack while he was working over in India. And joining us on the line now is a former teammate, former Australian player, of course, does a great job on Channel 7 and various media outlets. Damien Fleming. Good morning, Flemo.
Hey, Blue. Byrne, an absolute tragic couple of days with the passing of Dino. You know what a flamboyant, large and life character around Australian cricket for nearly 20 years. And condolences to Jane and the daughters and extended family.
Yeah, absolutely, Flemo. And of course, we're thinking of our great mate Brett Lee as well, who was with Dino in the foyer and tried to resuscitate him.
Yeah, so heroic from Brett. And, you know, we get more and more details of the efforts that Bing strived to regain consciousness for Dino in those last, minutes there. So, and so brave too. Like, you know, Brett went on to, Star Sports later that night
yeah.
and gave a touching monologue. And the thing about Dino is, obviously, he loved being home with his family, but he really loved it over there in India and Star Sports and working with, you know, Bing as Scott Storrs, you know, Brian Lara and that co. He really loved working with that crew. But, you know, Brett Lee, obviously, you just assume he's getting all the right support over there. But what a man.
Yeah,
I want to talk about his influence on the game, Flem. Now, he changed the game, basically. He was a real innovator. He used to... Well, he's running between the wickets. He'd take fielders on back when you didn't really have to do this. He'd walk down at the bowler and clear that front leg. He sort of invented all that,
sunglasses.
Didn't he? Sunglasses. There's swagger about him.
Mate, I've been making notes over the last few days. You know, it's such a... and in some ways, he was a contradiction as well. Like, he had so many highs and well-publicised lows. But, you know, those things you talked about, Byrne, you know, they're standard now.
Yeah.
Like, for all his brilliance as a stroke player, and Blue, you played so much against him as well, you know, he taking on the opposition. It's a lot of the one percenters that I admired and things like running between the wickets. Yes, there's pace, but there's also technique. And no one was technically better at getting in and out of the crease as quickly as possible as Dino.
Yep.
And as quite rightly you said, you know, for us poor fielding, faster bowlers, we just want to sleep in the outfield, right?
Lean on the fence.
So he killed us off. And I always wanted to go. Buchanan didn't like it. I was too slow. But he just added, you know, an extra one to singles, to twos. And I think he took his teammates with him. You know, I think particularly at Australian level, if you couldn't run between the wickets, at least around the standard of Dino, you know, you were gone.
What I loved about him, one of my favourite things, and this would have really annoyed you being a fast bowler, Flem, is just as the bowler's just about to get to the top of his, or at the crease, he'd just pull out and put the arm up. Just purely, nothing wrong with him, just wanted to really piss him off.
Yeah, deliberately do. Runner-up, Sachin Tendulkar. Jeez, Sachin.
See how they remember him. You fast bowlers remember him.
Ooh, but Dino did that. He got in their face, and yes, he loved it to get himself into the contest, but it was off-putting, you know, and particularly against South Australia. And, you know, there was a run of innings which Blew you might have been part of or playing for Australia, where he just gave them no chance. And I talk about the contradictions as well. There was one summer we were playing, and he started with 243 in Shield cricket, 68, 144, 214. So he hits the Test series against India, and you go, he's going to get 1,000 runs. And then he gets bowled first ball by Kapil Dev. Do you know what I mean? And for me, there was so more highs than lows, yep, because quite rightly he's in the Cricket Australia Hall of Fame. But, mate, it was always entertaining.
Hey, Flemo, give us an insight into his personality as well, because he said what he thought a lot of the times, and that sort of led to a few sort of blow-ups amongst yourselves. You had, you know, Merv Hughes, I'm thinking, Chuck Berry, those sort of boys.
Yes, yeah, certainly. I mean, deep down, I mean, it's so sad, isn't it, with the passing of, famous players like Dino. You know, here's one guy who'd be loving these tributes. You know, he'd be absolutely loving them, and all of them are much deserved. And, you know, he had that arrogant persona. He, you know, he was called the super legend, the ledge. But obviously deep down he did love to be loved. And then sometimes the bigger the occasion, particularly one day cricket at the MCG, you know, to have the privilege to play a couple of one days with him and Warnie, you know, it adds 30,000 to the crowd. Yeah. Instead of 50,000, you're playing in front of 80, 85. Mm. Just one little thing too, boys. You know, he was a 12th man's nightmare, like absolute nightmare. I debuted at 18 playing the one days, but I was 12th man for about four Shield games in a row. And I don't think I ever recovered, because he was just so finicky. He was a perfectionist, so everything had to be right. So you had to be ready just about every ball to run out like chewies. You know, gloves. He wanted different gloves for different bowlers. You know, what the hell is that?
Sweatbands.
Bloody batsman.
Sweatbands. What about the sunglasses? He had blue ones for conditions. He had orange ones for light.
Had to be clean.
So I remember this one day, right? He's not out. Him and Jamie Siddons are not out. And I'm jumping, mate, I need to be on this. Throw 1,000 balls to him. Hit a million catches to Paul Jackson, which was a waste of time because he dropped the first one that come to him. Get into the dressing rooms. And they used to scatter my gear everywhere. So pads would be in the spa and the boots would be sticky taped to the roof. And, you know, Merv would have signed the bat with a big black texter like Merv Hughes all over it. So that was embarrassing walking out the bat, you know, with Merv sign. But what was worse, Bernie, was it was misspelt. Merv hadn't learned to spell his name right. There's an R in Merv. There's an R in Merv. You didn't know that.
Oh, Flemo, thanks for joining us, mate, and reflecting on Dino. He was, he's, you know, gone too soon, but thank you very much for your time, mate.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, mate. I know you're loving lockdown over there, so good on you, Flemo. There he is, Damien Fleming, joining us on Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota with Bernie Bluey and Jars. Despite the weather and sport, either reignite or top up that record collection. International Record Store Day. Big Shed Brewing on Old Port Road's got Underground Records, has Crackle and Pop Records, and everything as per usual. That's where I'll be. So get on it. It's now time for I'm not sure if we're doing this because someone isn't here, but I'll play the intro and then you two sort it out.
At home,
with the legend, legends.
Well, I've got here written on the run sheet, at home with the legends, Andrew Jarman. We're supposed to be speaking to Jars now.
Yep.
And we've bumped this back already by, well, it was meant to be in the first hour. Now it's in the second hour and he's still no, well, we haven't heard from him.
You're
Should
polite.
We just give him another call?
Your message
call?
Was polite. Yeah, no, I'm just calling his
polite.
Number now.
Well, let's call him again.
Let's see.
I might not be so polite this time.
I don't think you should. Blue, don't want you staying quiet. He whacks you. Here we go.
G'day, Andrew Jarman. Leave your name and
hang on. Leave a message.
Leave one.
As soon as possible. Thank you. Bye.
Jars, Bernie and Bluey here again, mate. We've pushed you back to the second hour. We've filled your spot with something else. But, mate, we need you. You said you were going to come on. Like, it's getting... I'm not happy, Blue.
Yeah, well, don't be a f**kwit either, mate. That's part of the deal.
We make ourselves available when we're not on, and you f**king go and do this to us.
Yeah,
Don't push us back to the third hour.
Knob jockey.
Don't you f**king dare.
All right, he's gone.
knob jockey. I haven't heard knob jockey since primary school. That's brilliant. I'm going to start using that again.
All right,
Dave. I've got a bone to pick with you, though, because that sort of reminded me a little bit. Because a couple of weeks ago, starters, Jars has asked me on this Sunday, I think it was, how do I cook these ribs? And it, long story short, ended up being just a lamb roast. The bloke's got no idea about anything to do with food. But he's a very good eater, obviously. but he reckons you came down to Henley Beach with your beautiful wife and you walked across the front of his house. You spoke to him, he called out and invited you in, and you basically just went, gave him the bird and said, no, Catherine, we're not going into that shithole.
Right.
That's his version of events, is it? I wasn't there. He said he invited you in and Catherine wanted to come in and you said, we're not going in there.
Okay, all right. I'll tell you what happened, Bern.
Here we go.
Okay.
I was down there with Catherine. That's right. I was with my two boys as well. Right, we just had a bit of early lunch at Cheeky Greeks. Tony sorted this out. That was another thing
he said. The only reason you were down is to try and get a free feed from Cheeky Greek because you're a tight ass.
No.
So his story has got two ticks out of two so far. Right.
No.
So where does it?
We always pay at Cheeky Greeks. Let's just put that to bed. So cross.
Question mark.
Cross.
Question mark.
Question mark. Anyway, so we had had our lunch on the lawn there at Henley Square, and then we thought, we'll just go for a little walk. So we're walking up, and I never know which one Jars's house is, for a start. Yeah. Anyway, so we're walking past, and I'm sort of looking in, trying to work out which, and there he is, pasty boy, in the kitchen. Anyway, so he puts his hand up, and I'm like, oh, no, he's coming out. anyway, so he comes out. This is 11:30 a.m. in the morning. He comes out with a beer in his hand.
No.
He's drinking at 11:30 a.m. in the morning. Anyway, he comes out and it's like, and as you know, Henley Square and that area along there, lots of people walking. So he's out there on the grass,
Jokes,
the other side
no
of his
shirt.
Fence, and he's almost, he's here I am, everyone. Yeah, Jars.
Normally, people try and not let people know where they live, but Jars is like, this is the Jarman household.
Yeah. So, beer in hand, dogs are barking. And then, brief chat. We were the other side of the road, too.
Yeah,
right?
Busy road.
And he's going, oh, Catherine, finally we meet, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and then he sort of turned around and walked off, and Catherine goes, shouldn't he have asked us in? Even if he doesn't want us to go in, isn't that sort of polite to be asked to go in?
That's what's happened.
Yeah,
he called me straight away and said, blew it. He's that selfish cricketer's coming back out. But it's not his fault. He's used to this. They're all about themselves. I invited him in. Catherine wanted to come in. Bluey, no, Catherine, we're not going in there. He reckons you almost... grabbed Catherine and dragged her away. Said, no, we're not going in there.
Well, Catherine is, always a bit of, hadn't met Jars, but now that she has, very unimpressed with the form down there. And he did mention that he said, I've got some ribs on the barbecue. I'm just waiting for Bernie to get back to me. And it wasn't even ribs. It was bloody, what were they?
It was a lamb roast. It was a lamb rack. But that's why it took a while to get back to him. I was on the phone to Dad because he asked Dad the same question. And we just could not believe that he thought they were ribs.
Oh, Jars. Pasty boy strikes again.
It's Dead Set Legends. It's Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. We've got a text line if you want to use it to give us a compliment maybe or not. 04 888 5104 7.
Dead Set Legends, Bernie, Bluey and Jars present AFL Newsbreaker. Jay Clark.
He joins us every Saturday morning on the Dead Set Legends Footy Newsbreaker. Jay Clark, welcome, Jay.
Hello, Bern. Hello, Bluey. How are you, boys?
G'day, Jay-Z.
Very good. Very busy time of the year for you newsbreakers, isn't it? Getting around, searching for information. Matt Scharenberg, he was pick six at Collingwood not long ago. Highly touted defender. Is he on the move?
I reckon he is, Bern, and I reckon he's coming back home to South Australia. He's got strong family ties in Adelaide, and essentially he's there for the Crows if they want him. Now, this is a man, obviously, who's had a terrible run with knee and foot injuries, the knee reconstructions we know about. Only played three games this year, and with Jeremy Howe coming back next year, he's fallen out of favour, and the writing is on the wall. So, look, we absolutely expect him to go back home to South Australia, and he'd be up for grabs for... well, for not much. You know, you'd be able to get him pretty cheaply with a late round pick, etc. He's clearly not in Collingwood's best 22, and a new name who's emerged in this sort of this trade period. It's going to help Collingwood too, because he's on decent money for a guy who hasn't played a whole lot. There have been overtures from him from rival clubs, from SA clubs for a long time now. So his salary, which will be taken off the books, then helps keep Geordie DeGoey and Darcy Moore. They're both likely to stay. Collingwood very confident of keeping them. And also, they're still circling the market if they can get one, the key forward. They missed Tom Lynch a few years ago. They're desperately hoping to bolster that forward power. And Jack Gunston is certainly a man they're keen on. But Matty Scharenberg, folks, he could be playing for an SA club next year, I'd suspect.
All right. Now, Essendon president Paul Brasher has made a statement on the supplement saga again.
A really strong statement, Bluey. So it's interesting. We know that Essendon's had another disappointing year outside the finals. Been, what is it, 16 years since they've won a finals game. And Paul Brasher says that the club has potentially been too soft on the players. They felt sorry for them. You know, that the players were hard done by the wake out of the supplement saga, which took a year of their football career away. I think he's clenching his fist a little bit. They're trying to toughen up the culture of this football club. He's saying he wants answers from Danaher. He's gone camping, or he's out bush, he's rally driving,
he's lost
something to make up his mind. Sure, a bit of warmer, wet desert weather or something will help crystallise his thoughts of his football career or something. And Adam Saad, too, wanted by a whole host of Victorian clubs. So I think that they want to draw a line in the sand, Essendon. A lot of players have left in the past. There must be something wrong with that environment. I feel like they keep bringing decent players into the footy club, Burn and Bluey, but for all these players to continue want to leave, the football club's got to do a temperature check on its own environment, on its own culture, because if it was any good, boys, they'd want to stay, wouldn't they? Like,
certainly would. You look at all the Richmonds and the good sides. The players want to go there, and once they're there, they want to stay. So, I'm with you.
Well, Port Adelaide's the other one. Now, what about Collingwood? They're doing it tough, aren't they, Jay-Z? Heading to Perth, of course, have to do their 7 days. What's the mood in their camp?
It's a huge mental task as much as a physical task, Bluey, to be honest, because they're back in the quarantine, isolation, back in the hotel room, locked up for another week. You know, family's been left on the eastern seaboard. It's a really taxing time for them. It was a tough loss last week. They were desperate to win to avoid this trip west. So it is going to take, like, if they can win this, I reckon we'll be talking about it as Nathan Buckley's finest hour as coach. Like, that's how taxing, that's how tough that will be for this Collingwood group. It's just a huge test for their leadership. We know about the forward connection issues. Geordie DeGoey didn't have a great game last week. They weren't clean with their hands. They were a bit fumbly under that Port Adelaide pressure. And, jeepers, that was an impressive pressure performance from them. So, a huge test. The other big game, obviously, Port Adelaide Geelong. Want to get your quick thoughts on this, boys. Is Tom Jonas the man to go to Tom Hawkins? Remember, he kicked six on Tom Cleary? I reckon Ken Hinckley was playing a game there. I reckon from the first minute of that first final, Tom Hawkins, who looms as the match winner, clearly gets their best defender, which is Jonas. That is the obvious matchup, isn't it?
Has to. Yeah. In the All-Australian squad as a defender, probably unlucky to miss. Cleary, been out of the side for 3 weeks. I think he has to go to him as captain of that footy club, because that is where the game will be won and lost, I feel, Jay-Z. Richmond trade period. Now, they've just re-signed Graham, and more players wanting to go to Richmond. How do the hell do they fit all these players in?
You mentioned it. It's the environment, isn't it, at Tigerland? Look, Bashar Hooley coming to the end. So Adam Saad, they see as a potential like-for-like replacement. And that would have to appeal to a guy like Adam Saad, been starved of success at Essendon. He was at Gold Coast before that. Hasn't got a lot of wins on the board. Imagine just walking into that Richmond back line next to Vlossy and Grimesy and Asprey coming back. He would just be the cream on the cake. And if they got him, we know the Cats are looking to make some big moves. If Richmond got Adam Sard as well, wouldn't that be a big shot in the arm?
Oh, tough. And I don't know too much about this story, but there's been a story break about some umpire stalking. Can you fill me in about this?
Well, there's a man who took his passion and unhappiness with some umpiring decisions to an extreme. and just sort of not only, you know, threatening voicemail messages, started stalking the person, etc. We won't mention any names, but he's been charged by police. It's been treated as a very serious issue, and he'll face court in the Frankston Magistrates Court next year. So a nice little reminder just to go easy on the men in white. Stay off the Twitter and all the abuse and all that sort of stuff. They're people too.
Leave it on the field.
Well said. Good on you, Jay-Z. Thanks for joining us again, mate. There he is, Jay-Z. Absolute beauty.
Well, I look forward to this time every week. And this is the DSL voicemail. And because I haven't been here for a week, so a lot, they build up, Blue. They build up and we get callers from everywhere. We owe money. People lost. There's been people stealing cabbages from next door. I wonder what's happened today.
You have 10 new messages.
Hello, it's Yater, and I'm here with 134 games for the Adelaide Crows. Rhett Biglands at the glorious Rundle Mall as we try and get a new pair of Nikes, trying to get something going here for the ankles. Good support on the ball, looking for a discount. Can't find Biggles. Back to the counter, passes off the credit card. Still no Biglands in sight. Transaction approved, signature right on the line. Biglands appears after the transaction, and I'll never shop here again. Dad, I have bought a new car from the beautiful CMI Toyota West Harris. It does all these whiz-bang things like park itself. I got to pull up at yours at around 11 so you can...
G'day, it's Jeff from Adelaide Oval. Can you just remind Blue if he's going to work the boundary line to not take his bloody golf umbrella? 2,500 people could only see the forward pocket because of that flog. Sort it out, please, Burn.
Oh, g'day. It's Johnny from Promotions here. Just a reminder, Jars, that we can't give away alcohol, spirits, firearms or copies of Jarman Magic. But thanks, guys.
G'day, boys. It's Tex. Thanks for the present for overtaking Mods' goal record. Ali and I can't wait to use the buy one, get one free voucher for the Cheeky Greek. We're just going to go halves. Thanks.
G'day, Bluey. Michael from the Sucker here, mate. We got your one-pager on what we could do better around the office. And, just wanted to say we've gone over it. And look, we're going to file that away. That you're, hope you're well, mate.
Jarl, I didn't read the manual, and I didn't realise. Oh, fair hiccup. I have to be in the car when it parks itself. I've dinged Riley's car. Call the RA.
Bernie, Fitzy, head of Triple M here, mate. What the f*** are you doing naked on Fox Sports, mate? I'm shocked. I thought you only did that at Triple M staff parties. Call me.
Jazz, when you get home, don't be surprised to find me in your lounge room sitting in my car.
Jarman! It's Brayshaw! You are so fat! When you fell in love... You're broken! You're bad!
There are no more messages.
Triple Ebb's Dead Set Legends. With Bernie, Bluey and Jars, Andrew Jarman absent, we've left one voicemail already. About to leave a second one. Get a hold of us too if you want as well. 133353.
And there it is!
I say I don't like cricket.
Blew it.
Got in beautifully bowled. What a...
What was he saying behind that beep? What a
Yorker.
But
if you listen to it, it sounds
Yorker.
Like...
Okay, very, very, very clever. Ones. Oh, some
no,
of these
not
ones.
Saying you are. No, not saying you are. It's just...
No, I think you are, which I like. I like that, well, Hato, when you bring a bit of aggression.
This is sounding like Rush Hour. Every time I listen to the Rush Hour, you're just teeing off on me, you two knuckleheads.
Well, we need to talk a bit of cricket anyway, because the Sheffield season, Blue, has been announced. It's going to begin in Adelaide. The first four rounds are going to be in SA, October, November, which will include test stars, Marnus Labuschagne, Mitch Starc, Nathan Lyon, Matthew Wade, played across the Karen Rolton Oval, Park 25, Adelaide Oval number 2, and Glenelg.
Yes.
So that's exciting for everyone to get down and watch the some of the test stars running around.
Yep. Yeah, as you said, mate, 4 rounds. So starting on October 10, South Australia play Western Australia. Our first 2 games are at Karen Rolton Oval. And then round 3 and 4, we go down to Glenelg and play down there. So, creating up a sort of a cricket hub here in Adelaide. So New South Wales would be a bit relieved, Bern, because, of course, the borders opened up. They were originally going to come over and do their 14 days at the Adelaide Oval Hotel, which I'm hearing is tremendous. The the food at the Adelaide Oval Hotel is meant to be amazing. That came straight from Justin Langer's mouth. So
no one will be able to ever stay at that hotel. Everyone's quarantining in there, returning from everywhere. But the Victorians will have to quarantine coming into the hub, Blue, so they'll have to come over early, 2 weeks early.
Yeah, that's right. So they'll have to get their 14 days in, and then they start on October 10 as well. So at the moment, the Redbacks have been having some trial games, Bern. We've been sort of going into competition mode. We've got a 3-day game next week at Karen Rolton Oval, and that'll be our last game before the Sheffield Shield first team is picked.
How are we looking? Are we going all right? Is the season going to be all right? You're going to turn them around?
Yeah, absolutely. No, pre-season has gone really, really well. Great attitude by the boys, train the house down. Like you AFL boys say, best pre-season ever.
Fittest, running PB time trials, and they all doing that under Schwerty.
Yeah, they are actually. Daniel Drew, he did the 2K'er in under 6 minutes, 5 minutes 54, which is elite at AFL level. So
that's very good.
We put that out on social media, and then the comments were, well, yeah, but can he bat and bowl though?
That's the next question.
Which
that's a bloody good time though, Blue. He probably would have just been able to see me in the distance in front of him.
Is that right? And just in other updates, the TV rights has been kicking off the last couple of weeks. Channel 7 and Fox Sports going head-to-head with Cricket Australia.
Directly involved in that.
Yes, well, I'm employed by Channel 7. We've had Damien Fleming on this morning as well. Yes. He's with Channel 7. So understanding that the negotiations, because Cricket Australia were basically holding firm. They're saying, we're putting the same amount of games out, so we want the same amount of money. Obviously, that upset Channel 7 and Fox Sports because they believe the summer's being compromised.
Yes.
Which it is. I mean,
it has.
It's definitely going to be a different feel to the summer.
Yep.
But we're hearing that the negotiations have gone well in the last week or so.
Awesome.
So we're sounding a little bit more positive about...
Cricket Australia got a buddy CEO, or who's Channel 7 dealing with? Because it's a complete mess, that situation.
Yeah, they've got an interim CEO, so that's part of...
that's not ideal. If you're going through a multi-million dollar deal, you'd have an interim guy that's stepped in, and this is why it's not getting anywhere. I'm speaking from an outsider's point of view. I feel like they need to appoint someone and get it done because it's cricket's nearly here, Blue.
Yeah, that's right. And you've mentioned that the Sheffield Shield schedule, that's the only schedule really apart from the women's schedule that we've heard about this summer. So obviously for the TV networks, it's hard to start selling, their stuff without knowing the dates and all that sort of stuff. So we're waiting on that from Cricket Australia, especially regards to the international schedule. Of course, India coming out for the 4 test matches. Afghanistan were meant to be coming out for the test match against Australia. Mm-hmm. That was going to start the summer off. That's been canned because of COVID. And the 3 ODIs against New Zealand have been canned as well. But that's all we know about the international schedule so far.
That is Bluey's Cricket Corner.
And there it is.
Blew it.
Got in beautifully bowled. What a f***er. I love it.
Next, we try and track down Andrew Jarman, who, was out of rotation this week, promised to be part of the show so far. No answer. Voicemail messages left. And I think we're about to step it up next with these two. Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Andrew Jarman, absent this morning. That was just due to rotations. But he will be back on Monday despite being whacked by these two. Left 2 voicemail messages so far. And, he hasn't answered or bothered to call back. So
yeah, well, we'll be calling him again. Don't worry about that. He's meant to be making himself available. He gets into us when we don't, but we do every week. So
and we won't be so nice this time if we have to leave another message.
I've had enough. Nah, I might even visit him this afternoon.
Oh, God.
he's, No, he's completely burnt us, which is extremely disappointing now. Burn, I have to give a bit of a shout out to my mate Staggy, who's the head coach of St. Paul's Old Scholars.
Yes.
So it's their first year in Division 6, and they're into the grand final.
Granny, today?
That's tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Yep. Okay, so, well done.
All the best boys. And good Staggy, luck. Who's about he's about 4'1". I don't know how they see him when they get in the huddle, but anyway, old super coach Staggy, all the very best for tomorrow.
Yeah. No, good. Got some grand finals coming up too in the amateur league final. So well done to them. And what do we got next? We got the beef.
We've got the beef. Now, I haven't heard the beef this week.
Now, look, this is, look, Bernie's beef does tend to get a little bit hot under the collar.
Mm.
But Bernie decided to give a little bit of life advice to those players that haven't really gotten down pat the art of being elusive. As Bernie Teflon Vince, you want to know how he got his middle name? You're about to hear on the beef. In the meantime, we'll leave you with the beef. Then we're going to call Jars. And then it is the rub with Triple M Rocks Footy. Stay safe. If you want to get the podcast, you can do that by going to triplem.com.au or our free app.
You got beef with me.
It's time for Bernie's Beef. For country living homes, anything from transportable and lightweight homes to brick veneer and luxury constructions.
All right, Adelaide, not only do the Adelaide fan base sit down and listen, but every world leader listens to the beef and they are waiting to see what comes out of your mouth on this magnificent Tuesday. Burns Beef is alive and well. Who have you got up your sleeve?
Well, this is just a warning that there will be a beef coming they don't listen to this. Oh, yes, this is, as we know, Jars, on the weekend, 10 teams finished their season. Yes, the curtain came down on season 2020, and it has been a weird season, but that means Mad Monday week and silly season. Yes. So what I thought I'd do is I survived this for 13 years, Jars, without one blemish
Hang on. Okay.
Not many blemishes, okay? Not too many serious ones anyway. So what I've done is I've written down a survival guide for young players coming through of Mad Monday week and the off-season. And they're not rules. So, they're just guidelines.
So they're do's and don'ts.
And things that may or may not help you at certain times.
Okay. Get locked up. Here we go.
Number one. Always have a social media friend. Or a social media friend. Or probably the more politically correct name for them is a socialite friend that goes out. This friend needs to be going out every single night of the week to all nightclubs, all bars. You know what that does, Jazz?
What, man?
Saves lining up time. You go straight in, more drinking, more fun, less waiting out the front in the cold. Right.
Right.
Number two.
Yes.
Once you're in that venue, I like to call this an opposition analysis. So you want to check all your exits, okay? All exit, fire exit doors, all this, because sometimes the front door isn't always the best option because that's where the bloody security guards are. You also, as part of this opposition analysis, you need to just spread your eyes across the bar, pick out the big bloke, because he's your main worry, the big bloke, and just make sure you know who he's talking to, who his friends are, because if shit hits the fan, you need to avoid that guy and get the fuck out of there. Because he's going to f***ing hurt you. Yes. So get out.
Good strategy.
And when you go into this, as part of the opposition analysis, go up to the owner or manager of that bar and just introduce yourself. This could help in a couple of ways. And you know what? When you go up to him, offer him something. Some tickets for next year, maybe some boots, an old Guernsey jars. You do this all the time. Because this can help with. And if all it helps with is getting a round of free drinks, you're the winner, aren't you?
Great strategy.
Another thing that this can help with is if there is a bit of an altercation, which there will be because it's the off-season, these guys, if they're your friends, they have an uncanny ability to just lose the footage, the CCTV footage. So you need to keep them close on hand. Well, and that has come in very helpful for me over the years.
Good.
Thirdly, just when you're drinking with your mates in the off-season, even if you are a young player, you need to stand up to the plate. Show your masculinity. Always finish your beer before the people you're drinking with. Just to set the scene. You might end up on the floor in 2 hours, but geez, they'll respect the you for having a f***ing crack. Moving on. Now, if you've got a police friend, always remember their name. Not saying that you're going to get in trouble with the law. Actually, yes, I am. So make sure you remember their name because you just never know when, if you say you know someone, they might have gone to police school together. Bang, they even drop you home if you know someone really close to them. And if you don't know anyone, just make sure you take note of the badge walking past of a police, just a random one. They can always help, Jars. They always help. Moving on. Yes. Get your phone out. Go to settings if you've got an iPhone. Yeah. Phone settings. Show caller ID. Yeah. Just flick that off while you're still sober before you go out because I've called exes, coaches, presidents, CEOs. President. For God's sake, we even rang Jeff Kennett one night and gave him a serve me and text.
Shit, what'd you say?
Oh, no. I've let that out. No. Oh, I wasn't meant to say that. Another one. Uber. Don't have your name set up under your Uber account because just in case you spew or or whatever you're doing, you need to do a runner. So change your name. Don't let it track back to you.
But, Bern, isn't your credit card connected?
Actually, cancel. I'm putting a line through that one. Another one. This is the best one you can get. Okay, always be with someone more famous than you.
That's okay?
For two reasons. Yeah. First one, if you get caught, which you shouldn't if you listen to the survival guide, but if you do get caught, the club might even just sweep it straight under the carpet to protect the more famous person. Judge, you'd be right coming with me. Yeah. Oh, I'd be stuffed though. Who would I go with? Name the bloke that was with Sydney Stack.
I can't remember his name.
Exactly right, and he's not even famous, so there you go. Right, and then this one. This
Here
is just the bottom line, okay?
Here we go, family.
If all shit hits the fan and you get caught on camera, it's definitely 110% you. You know what you do, Jazz?
What, Bird?
Like my dad always says, you refer to the three Ds.
What's that, Bird?
Deny, deny, deny. And if they keep bringing up the footage and it's definitely you, you know what you do then?
What, Bird?
Like my dad always says.
What?
You refer back to the first D. And I tell you, right, if anyone is listening out there, and all the young players should, if you listen to this and still get caught, you're a f***ing dumb bastard. Because I've survived for 13 years with, well, not too many blemishes anyway.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Find them smiling every Saturday morning from 9 for CMI Toyota. And find the all-new Hilux at one of CMI Toyota's three big locations today.
G'day, Andrew Jarman here. Sorry I missed your call. Leave your name and number and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you. Bye.
Jars, this is bullshit, mate. Absolute bullshit. We've changed your spot three times, and honestly, I don't want to f***ing hear from you. That's it. I'm done. I'm not coming next week either. You get f***ed.
Yeah, don't bother ringing me, mate, on my day off either. That is, it's pathetic, mate. Selfish. We talk about we're a team. Dead
get
shit.
F***ed.
F*** off. Knob jockey.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota. South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.